Confronted by a contagious disease with frightful consequences, an entire people protect themselves from serious illness by social distancing, by isolating the infected, by mandating special clothing, and by shaming and shunning those who will not cooperate with these draconian public health precautions. I speak, of course, about leprosy. But after our experience of the coronavirus pandemic 5 years ago, perhaps we are a bit better equipped to understand the ancient measures which separated lepers from everyone else, and to appreciate the extraordinary appeal of a man who could cut through fear and danger and heal the sick. That is why a group of 10 lepers sought out the Lord Jesus. And while keeping their required distance from the Redeemer, they begged for his mercy. Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Leprosy, or Hansen's disease, is a terrible affliction and was beyond the skill of medical science to cure until the last century. And it was, in many ways, a living death. To protect the community from the spread of this disfiguring disease, lepers were separated from all human fellowship, and so were also unable to join in divine worship. And this isolation from companionship and worship was often harder to endure than the disease itself. Recall that all the miracles worked by the Lord Jesus during his public ministry were offered as signs which revealed his divine nature, the glory which was not visible to the eye. And so these deeds of power were intended to verify the truth of the words of Christ and to demonstrate his authority over nature, because he is the author of nature. In the person of Christ the King, the kingdom of God has come among us, and so we are called to repent and believe in the gospel. With both his words and deeds, Christ expanded the covenant with Abraham to include all Gentiles, and he taught his disciples that Gentiles could become children of God by the grace of adoption through faith, hope, and love. And so even the location of this miracle in today's gospel is important in revealing the eternal plan of salvation. Notice that Christ and the 12 are on the road to Jerusalem, near the border of Galilee and Samaria, which explains why the 10 lepers were a mixed group of Jews and at least one Samaritan. Ordinarily, Jews and Samaritans never interacted because of centuries of hatred and mistrust. Jews regarded Samaritans as heretics and apostates who abandoned the covenant and so were living outside the law and were therefore without hope of redemption, while Samaritans returned their contempt with equal ferocity. But such mutual estrangement had evidently been overcome among these 10 lepers, who had no one else to turn to outside of their circle of misery and despair. No one, that is, until the Lord Jesus came among them. Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Everyone who saw these men knew that they were lepers, and the Lord Jesus immediately understood what they were seeking from him. On another occasion, the Savior cured a leper by touching him, both to reveal that he was the source of all healing and to show that he was not bound to the restrictions designed to keep ritual impurity from spreading. But in the case of these 10 men, Jesus commanded an intermediate step to reveal another dimension of the kingdom of heaven. He told the lepers, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." Priests, of course, were guardians of divine worship, but in the case of infectious diseases, they also functioned as public health authorities who, according to the law of Moses, could exclude people from divine worship and from human community, and could also return them to these dignities if they were cured. Think of this power as a form of binding and loosing. And so Christ commanded the lepers, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." Then St. Luke tells us that as they were going to the priests, the 10 lepers were all cleansed. Christ healed them. But he did so by means of their obedience to his word and to the law of Moses. And this was not the first time in the history of Israel that such a thing had happened. Our first lesson today from the second book of Kings tells us of the Syrian general Naaman, who traveled from Damascus to Jerusalem seeking to be cleansed of his leprosy. Through the witness of a Jewish girl who was a servant to Naaman's wife, the Gentile general knew that if he was to find healing in this world, he needed to turn to the living God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so Naaman traveled to meet the king of Israel and ask for a miraculous cure. But on hearing this request, the king tore his clothes because it implied that the king exercised divine power, and he was horrified to be falsely considered a prophet. But in that time, there was in fact a prophet of God in the land. His name was Elisha, successor of Elijah, and he resided in Samaria. Yes, the same Samaria where 8 centuries later, the Lord Jesus cured 10 lepers. When Naaman arrived at the humble house of Elisha, the prophet would not even come out to meet the general, but instead sent a message that Naaman should go bathe himself 7 times in the River Jordan and so be cleansed. Naaman was outraged at the insult of this insolent Jew and the implication that the muddy Jordan could do for him what the magnificent waters of Damascus could not. And so Naaman was ready to return home in his pride and wait for his death of leprosy. But his servants begged the general to reconsider. Given what was at stake, why not try this simple task urged on him by the man of God? And so we read that Naaman went down and plunged into the Jordan 7 times at the word of Elisha, the man of God. His flesh became again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean of his leprosy. And so the astonished Gentile general returned to the prophet to give thanks. His power and wealth availed him nothing. But Naaman proclaimed, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel." And in this way, the living God was glorified by one who was not of Abraham's stock and yet recognized the truth that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the one, only living and true God. And so it was also with the one man who returned to the Lord Jesus to give thanks. St. Luke reports that although all 10 lepers were cleansed, only one of them, realizing that he had been healed, returned, glorifying God in a loud voice, and he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was, Luke tells us, a Samaritan. The Savior took note of this fact and remarked, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God?" Then Jesus said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you." Friends, everyone who has been baptized, everyone who has been born again by water and the Holy Spirit, has been cleansed of the disfiguring disease of sin and restored to divine worship and to fellowship with God, with other people, and with our own true selves. And yet, how many of the baptized return to give thanks? The word Eucharist, of course, means thanksgiving. And when we come to Mass and celebrate the Holy Eucharist, we are giving thanks in divine worship for the supernatural gift of grace by which we are made members of Christ, children of God, and heirs to the kingdom of heaven. And if all the baptized ever attempted to come give thanks at one time, then all the churches of the earth could not contain them. But can it really be as simple as this? Trust in the Lord Jesus, obey his word, be baptized, go to confession as needed to renew the grace of our baptism, live the law of love, and share in the banquet of Christ's body and blood to find perfect peace and everlasting life? Yes, friends, it really is that simple. And yet so few return to give thanks. But no matter how many may come to give thanks, that is what we are here to do. The psalmist rejoices that all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation by our God, and so we are exhorted to sing joyfully to the Lord. All your lands, bring into song, sing praise. And St. Paul admonishes us in the gospel acclamation today, taken from 1 Thessalonians, that we should in all circumstances give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And so we do give thanks for our salvation today and every day in the Most Holy Eucharist. And we offer this sacrifice of praise to our divine Redeemer in grateful return for his gracious mercy. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.